Well, let's pray, and I'm gonna review just a little bit today, and then move into a little bit more what we've been talking about here. I know last week I want to thank everybody for staying with me. I know it seemed like I kind of kept going into more on salvation and so forth, but sometimes I believe God is leaving the 99 and He's going after one. And how many know one is important to Jesus? And I appreciate all of you that stay with me and just pray. If these things happen, just pray for me. We're going to trust Him for utterance. Amen. And I believe that He gives utterance today. So if you can agree with me, we'll believe for utterance. Amen. In the Holy Ghost and God's, what God wants to get across to us today. Oh, by the way, those that are online, we're having communion today. I don't know if you can see the communion elements, but just a reminder, maybe you've got, if you didn't have any juice, you can use water, or, you know, a little bit of Coke or orange juice, whatever you have. Praise the Lord. It's not what it's made of, it's the remembrance of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't worry, it doesn't become the very body of Jesus when it gets in your mouth. You know, I remember Jesse Duplantis talking about that. You know, he's in the church, you know, in the Catholic church, you know. You don't bite Jesus. You just kind of suck on it and let it slide down your throat. You know, you know, it's like, hey, don't be chewing. That's biting. You're biting Jesus. You know, it doesn't actually become the body or blood of the Lord. We're thankful, but these are representative. And we're going to do that here in just a little bit. All right. Ephesians chapter one. Now, we've been talking a little bit about authority today. I want to just kind of relax. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit teach us once again. How many know it's good to hear the Word of God? Sometimes just to read the Word of God and listen to it. Let it get in our heart. Amen. I'm going to begin reading here, verse 15 here. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Hallelujah. According to the work of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, verse 20, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many see here that in this passage, there's a few things that we can recognize? Well, here, first of all, He's talking about, this is a Spirit-inspired prayer by the Apostle Paul, praying for the Ephesian church. And what is he praying? That they would have their eyes open, their understanding would receive the revelation of who Jesus Christ is to them, in them, and through them, really, ultimately. Amen. Hallelujah. He's praying that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened so they can know the hope of their calling. What is our calling? To be conformed to the image of Jesus. Amen. To walk with Him. To follow Him. To see what He has given. The riches of His glory. Our inheritance that we have in the saints. And then what? The exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working. Amen. That working of His mighty power that He worked in Christ when He raised him from the dead. Oh, glory. How many are glad that Jesus didn't stay dead? But see, there's a power that's working in you and I. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. You said, wow, that is. It is that same power. It's working toward us in our behalf. That was one of the greatest powers ever displayed in the earth when God raised Jesus from the dead. He gave him new life. He submitted to the Father. He was willing to be made sin. He was willing to die under the penalty of that sin. He willingly was whipped at the cross. He willingly said, okay, I take that penalty. I allow myself to be separated from the Father. I believe that was the greatest fear that Jesus had, was the separation from the Father. He had never known that. He had never known separation from the Father. Even when he became a man, he was born alive to God, just like you and I are alive to God. He was still connected with the Father. No sin was found in him. But then when God made him to be sin, he said that is where he had to be separated. He said, Lord, you know, he couldn't, you know, I think that's what he was very much agonizing over in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, I don't want to be separated from you. Is there another way, Father? Is there another way? You know, he could have, even in his natural man, or as God, even he could have said, I'm going to call the angels, I'm calling it off. Father, I can't do it. I believe God set the angels there and said that it could have happened if he had chose, because he has always given man a free will, and he gave Jesus a free will. Son, you choose as a man. You choose. And he did the hard thing, and he chose the way of death. And the way of death brought life. Not just for himself, but for all mankind. It brought what? Restoration of the broken fellowship with the Father through that precious blood, and caused Jesus, hallelujah, to be seated. Verse 21, where is he? He is, verse 20 says, he seated him and seated him. This last middle part here, 20, and he seated him, God seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and powers. Glory to God. Woo, how many remember what he said over there in Philippians chapter 2, where he was, he raised him up. He gave him the name above every name. Amen. He said, I have exalted you to this place of the power of God, authority over every principality and power and might and dominion in every name that's named, not only here in this age, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah, forever. Exalted over all the power of Satan. Last week we read in Colossians 2:15, didn't we? He disarmed his power. He disarmed the devil. King James has made a show of him openly. In other words, he defeated him. He removed that. Let's look at it real quick. Colossians 2:15. It says, having what? Disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, is what the New King James says. Now the King James will say, you know, he made a show of them. In other words, he triumphed over them in it, he says, triumphing over every power of the devil. Why is that so important? And why do we need to get it down on the inside of us? Because we have an enemy, and God says we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We shouldn't be ignorant of the way he works. How many know sometimes we have to understand his working? How is he defeating me? What is he doing that's defeating? Why am I being defeated? Anybody ever sense that? You know, you said, well, I keep getting attacked. I keep getting defeated. Why am I? Because we have an enemy, and we have to recognize that God has given us power and authority over him. Why? You said, well, how can you see that? Because where did God seat Jesus? Far above, right? All of his power, all of his dominion. And then where is the, where, then what is it? He said, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Are you part of the church? Amen. Over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Where is the body? Where is your body? Is it on top of your head or under your head? Amen. Isn't your body under your head? You know, we'd say, well, that's wrong. If it's, you know, if you're on top of your head, then that's not right, is it? But when we submit to God, when we receive Jesus, we come under his headship. Amen. And we are his body. And through his body, he exercises authority over what? All principality, all powers, all might, all dominion belongs to you. Now, primarily, first of all, what? For your life. Number one, you've got dominion and power in your life, in your domain. Well, and so that gives us what? Responsibility, gives us authority in our life first. The first place we exercise authority is over us. You know, we don't really have authority over any person. We don't have authority over them. We can pray for them, and we can take authority over the devil that may be trying to affect them. We can get a certain amount of relief for you. We can pray all that stuff away from you, but we can't stop you from inviting it back. That's up to you. You have authority, though, in your life. You could say no to him now. We can say, I resist you and all your friends. Sickness, leave me. Pain, leave me. Amen. I've said it many times. I've done it many times. I've seen it happen several times. Not always instantly, but ultimately, God wants that to happen. And if I miss God, or if I'm just something happens to me and I go on to heaven, praise God, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. You just rejoice. I didn't lose. I'm in glory. I win no matter what. Worst case scenario, I still win. If my body dies and I go to heaven. Oh, glory to God. This is locked up. Our authority, our power. Hallelujah. We have security in Jesus. We have authority in him. I don't have to be bound by any power of the enemy. Let's read on just a little bit further here into the second chapter. He said, which is his body. We are his body. The fullness of him who fills what? All in all. In the church of Jesus, we have all the power of God flowing through us. It says, and to you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. How many have been made alive? Oh, Lord, I know some of you know it more than I do. You were dead in trespasses and sins, but he made you alive. Oh, glory to God. I know the life of God moved into me. I remember. Amen. The first time I know that I had confessed the Lord Jesus, but I remember when I was about 10 years old in the fifth grade, and I was in Mrs. Visser's Wednesday night Bible study class, and we read 2 Corinthians 5:17 for the first time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. old things are passed away and all things have become new. And in my heart, I finally understood for the first time, I'm a new person. Life of God has come into me. I sensed the very nature of God on the inside of me. I sensed Him. I understood. I'm different. I'm changed. God changed me. I'm not somebody. You know, I didn't understand it all, but I did. Down in my heart, I sensed it. I had a witness in my spirit, man. Hallelujah. He said, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. How many, you know, we were of this world. We were sons of disobedience. Satan was your father, even if you weren't way out in sin. Like me as a young boy and a young man, I served God. I confessed Jesus as Lord. But I still had a sin nature. I'd had a sin nature. And I had to be changed. And sometimes even when we get our sin nature changed, how many know the enemy comes? We still have to learn I had authority over him. I didn't know that at the time. And sometimes there are things around us in life. How many know? Life can beat your soul up pretty good. Your mind, your will, your emotion. And get you all stirred up and sometimes confuse you. Anybody ever been there? Even after you're saved. But how many know what straightens us out? I got a hold of the Word of God. Oh, I'm so thankful. I started to learn how to believe what the Bible says. And I told God, I want to become a doer. I don't want to just hear it. I want to understand and do it, Lord. I told the Lord, I want to be a doer. God, I want to apply it. I didn't really say doer at that time in my life. I said, I want to apply it to my life, God. I want to see how it applies to me. And I would do my best to apply the Word of God to my life. Was I perfect at it? Not at first. I'm getting a little better at it. Praise the Lord. As time goes by. And the more that we're transformed by Him. Amen. We understand. Anyway, I got sidetracked there. Hallelujah. Not sidetracked, but we're still talking about the course of this world. I mean, you know, the course of the world is opposite from the course of God. In the world, you try to exalt yourself. In God's kingdom, we humble ourselves, don't we? And He exalts us, that He might be seen. Our life is not our own. In the world, you take it by the, we got to take life. Praise God, you're your own destiny. But really, the truth is, when we find our destiny in God, we find life. Glory to God, and authority. He said, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, right? The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Our nature was a nature of death and sin. Separated from God. Why? We were born into a fallen race. The human race is a fallen race. So, well, I didn't want to be born in death. Me either. I didn't want to be born separated from God. It was my fault. Got to talk to Adam. Amen. When we all get to heaven, I hope Adam's still loved, but, you know. Thank God for the blood. Adam and Eve will be there. And I'm sure we'll understand more. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there may have already been some conversations with them. Who knows? But I don't think there's any, you know, God knows that all the sorrow's passing. Jesus took care of it. And we'll all be grateful for Him. Amen. Adam was the, you know, if it wasn't Adam the first, that maybe it'd been one of us down the line. You know, we got to remember that. We all turn to Jesus. We've all sinned because of Adam. Bible says we're all found guilty. They couldn't keep the law. None of us could do it in our own selves. But God, verse 4. Hallelujah. How many are glad for God? Who is rich in mercy. Because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where was Jesus sitting? The Bible says here in the first chapter, we saw here he's sitting where? Far above, at the right hand. Seated him at his right hand. God seated him there. You're in Christ. Are you in Christ? Then you're there too. Amen. He said he raised us up together with him. In other words, if we look over in Romans 6, we died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. And in that resurrected power, we have authority through Christ Jesus over all principality, over all power. Jesus made a show of him openly. He disarmed his ability to destroy you when he died on that cross. When he went to hell, the Bible said he took what? The keys of death, of hell, of the grave. Jesus says all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. We have been given that same power. We got more power than Adam had. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Because of Jesus. Because God lives in us. We can walk in even greater authority. And walk in our dominion. Dominion. You know what that means when you have dominion over something? That means what you say goes. In other words, you're the king of your domain. Your life. And those in your life. Glory to God. And when we agree with what God has said, hallelujah, how many things go a lot better? Amen. Amen. Anybody ever say the things what God says? Surely he hath borne our sicknesses, carried our pains. By his stripes I was healed. Why? Because the greater one lives in us. I've been seated far above all his works. So, well, that's a work of Satan. Yes, sickness and disease. Jesus went about doing good, right? Acts 10:38, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. The devil is the oppressor, and we need to understand that. Sometimes I think people need to know who to blame for the problem. Who is the troublemaker? You know, sometimes we say it's so-and-so, but really, it's that spirit behind so-and-so. See, they're under some control of the prince of the power of the air. Hallelujah. You say, well, why is there so much trouble in the earth? Because man is sinful and separated from God. They don't know him. They're of their father, the devil. They're of the prince of the power of the air. They're in the spirit of disobedience. That's why there's wars, rumors of wars, fighting. That's why there's famine. Everything's not perfect on the earth. Why? Because of sin. Separation from God. Wanting our own way. Being that, you know, that's what it breeds, right? Selfishness. Resistance against God. Hallelujah. Sometimes people don't know that. They hadn't heard the good news. Jesus freed you from sin. Will you receive him and let him enter in? Glory to God. That's the good news, really. The price was paid. Will you receive that grace by faith? Through faith. Place your faith in what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. I know it seems so simple. I think it passes over some people's heads. You know, it can't be that simple. You know, sometimes God does, and praise the Lord, he has. How many been hearing about some Muslims that maybe they had a dream? They saw Jesus. Hallelujah. How many are believing God for the Muslims to be saved too? Some of these radical Hezbollah people can be born again. Steve sent me a little clip about that. Praise the Lord. I saw that. It was awesome. It's like the thing is, I think we don't realize that. Some of these people think they're doing something for God. They're convinced. Paul was so convinced that even though around him the church was doing miracles, signs, and wonders, he was saying, no, they're against God. And he was so convinced of that, it didn't make any difference what he saw. He thought he's fighting with God. Not against God. He thought he was fighting with God, doing the right thing. He said, I didn't realize. But how many know when Jesus shows up? Hallelujah. He can knock you off your high horse. Hallelujah. And you'll begin to see. Paul became literally blind and heard the voice. Amen. You ever close your eyes and hear the voice of God on the inside of you? Why are you kicking against me? Why are you fighting against me, Paul? And he didn't say, well, I wonder who that is. He said, who art thou, Lord? I know one thing, you're Lord. You have taken that, and he knew down in his heart. This is Lord, I am Jesus, who you persecute. Now they're going to take you to Damascus, and I'm going to show you what things you must suffer for my name's sake. Hallelujah. What gave God that kind of authority? A little old man, maybe, named Stephen. They had something to do with it. The church praying for him, for one. Taking authority over the enemy. Praying for their enemies. You know, that's the first thing God asked of us. Pray for your enemy. When's the last time you prayed for your enemy? For real. Amen. I mean, I'm not talking about just, Lord, I pray for my enemy. No, this person seems to be my enemy, Lord. I pray for them. I want them to see the truth. Jesus, I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. Yeah, but you don't know what my enemy's doing to me. Yes, he knows. God knows. I don't, but he knows. And maybe you know. Maybe it doesn't feel good. I don't feel like praying for my enemies. Well, sometimes I don't feel like going to work. But I don't live by how I, what? Feel. The Bible says we live by the Word of God. And sometimes it's not easy on the flesh. When I don't feel like it. You know, one of the greatest things, and we'll talk about it even today in the body of Christ, do we discern the Lord's body? In other words, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we forgive? Do we hold them blameless? Do we walk in love? See, he says, examine our heart, doesn't it? You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, we're going to examine ourselves today. You know, sometimes when we don't realize, we realize the enemy's not listening to me. And we need to start examining. Lord, this doesn't seem to be changing. What's the problem, Holy Spirit? Is there a problem? I know it's not God. He's not a problem. He's perfect. Sometimes we forget that. You know, we think, well, why is God holding this from me? No, he's not withholding anything from you. He's not the one that's stuck. We are sometimes, aren't we? With our thinking sometimes. With our reasoning sometimes. We reason against the truth. How many know the enemy likes to use the world system? Amen? Help you reason against God. Well, you're just getting older, brothers, just the way it is. No. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says he renews my youth like the eagle. Glory to God. How many read that? Psalm 103:5, right? Amen. He's forgiven my iniquity. He has cleansed me of my sin. I bowed my knee and he entered in. He forgave me and made me brand new. Took my old life. destroyed it, destroyed the power of sin over me, wrote my name in the book of life, caused me to be seated with him far above all principality and power and might, and every name that's named. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he said, if I'll resist the enemy, he'll take flight. I don't have to run from him. I don't have to have fear. I can walk in God's peace. Even when the enemy tries to come near to me, I can have the peace of God. And God said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Oh, glory to God. You know, don't judge your brother or sister if you see him standing next to what appears to be an enemy. God just may be preparing a table before them. Hallelujah. You know, remember one lady, she says, well, she was praying and the neighbor happened to hear her praying. She says, oh Lord, I need some groceries, Lord. Bring them over. Lord, I'm trusting you to take care of me, Lord. Bring my food. And the neighbor happened to hear her praying and he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God, you know. He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get some groceries and put it on her front porch. He went out, you know, and got the groceries and put them on the front porch. Then he knocks on the door, you know, because she's praising Jesus. You know, he's hiding in the bushes, you know. And he knocks on the door and she opens that door. And he says, you know, God didn't bring you those groceries. I went out and I got those groceries for you. I bought those groceries. Oh, really? Praise God. God provided and made the devil pay for it, she says. and she got all excited and was worshiping Jesus again. Hallelujah. You know, praise the Lord, that's a joke, but sometimes that's the way it works, isn't it? He'll use people that we don't think could be used. He used the donkey once to save Balaam, who was backslidden, trying to curse God's people and couldn't. Praise God. See, even when the devil tries, sometimes he'll try to use somebody against you. How many know their words can be brought to nothing? Because you have, what? All authority through Jesus. Seated with him far above his power. Glory to God. I'm going slow here, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is what I want us to get down. He wants us to get this down in our spirit. Down on your knower on the inside. Who are you? I'm a son of the living God. Filled with him. The same resurrection power that worked in Jesus is working in me. Glory to God. You know, there's four uses. There's four words for power. And here it is an energy that works in you that we don't see. That's the kind of power he's talking about. The exceeding greatness of his power. An energy, a power that works in you that you can't see all the time. It keeps working in you. Hallelujah. I believe it's Kratos. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the power over death. Sorry. Wrong one. But amen. There is that power over death. And glory to God. I know I have it in here, but I'm not there yet. Praise the Lord. That's okay. Anyway, this power, this energeia, that's what it is. E-N-G-A-R-I-A, I believe. Anyway, it's an energy that works in you. You have power over death. Amen. So Jesus destroyed death. How many know when he died? The power of death. What is death? The ability of the enemy to separate you from God. Eternal death is the real death. That's the second death, isn't it? There's a death of our physical body where our spirit is separated and goes to God. It's not really a death for those that are believers, is it? Amen. We just cease to work here in the earth. Our body dies. the physical part of us, but our spirit just moves on to glory. But we have power, that energy that works on the inside of us. It's an energy that keeps working in you, causing you to overcome. A power in there. Glory to God. Oh. Well, hallelujah. We're going to keep working, but I want us to see us. Where are you seated? With Christ. In Christ. Far above all that power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. We saw last time over in Luke. Hallelujah. Luke 10:19. I think I said Matthew last week, but Luke 10:19. But let's back up just a little bit, because here's the 70 disciples that were with Jesus. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." They were surprised. They're under Jesus' what? Authority, his power. And his power was working through them, because that anointing rested on them. Now it's in you. And you have that power. Glory to God. How many have power with God? You're walking with him. See, and he says here, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That means they're brought under control. They have no power over them. They are subject to us. Amen. You know what a subject is? It's somebody that's under your control. You have more power than they do. They can't defeat you anymore. They were subject to us in your name. And he said, I saw, we said that last time, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We looked over in Isaiah 14, also in Ezekiel 28. Satan had fallen. He left heaven. He was kicked out of heaven. He was already fallen once. Hallelujah. And Jesus enforced his final defeat over you at the cross, didn't he? Woo, glory. And all of his friends. That means depression doesn't have to stay with you. Doesn't mean there's not a fight sometime, but we ultimately win, don't we? If we don't quit. We hold fast to what God says. Do we have losses sometimes? Sometimes we do. I've lost some battles, but that doesn't mean I lost the war. Maybe one day I didn't win, but I'm still alive to fight again tomorrow, and I'm not going to stop until I fully conquer. Hallelujah. With Jesus. We don't do it on our own power. He said, don't be strong. Be strong in what? Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not your might, my might, his might. So we saw him fall like lightning from heaven, Jesus said. Then he said, behold, I give you the authority, the power, or the authority, hallelujah, exousia, authority, delegated power. That's what authority is. You've been delegated. You've been badged the deputy of Jesus. Glory to God. A new sheriff has come to town, and his name is whatever your name is. In his name, it's you. His name is Jesus. The sheriff's in town. And you're his deputy, and you have been authorized to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, the dunamis of the enemy. When he tries to come to destroy, when he tries to blow up your life, when he tries to discredit you, when he tries to cheat you, when he tries to put sickness on you, when he tries to deceive you, when he tries to bring thoughts back to you. He said, I have given you all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You cannot be destroyed. You are indestructible in Christ Jesus. You are his. He cannot stop you. All the power, all the dunamis of the enemy. He may try to stop you. He may bring hindrances to you. He may try to, what, change circumstance. Remember last week we talked about the disciples that were going across the sea. He tried to stop them. From what? From crossing the sea. Why? Because he knew what was going to happen when they got to the other side. They were going to bring the gospel to a man there in Gennesaret. And the entire place was going to be, what, evangelized through a demoniac who got delivered and set free. He wanted to go with Jesus. But how many know? Jesus said, no, you stay here. You go describe. You go tell them what has happened to you. You proclaim the good news to the people. Hallelujah. And you and I, how many know Jesus has left the earth, didn't he? But we're left here. Why? To proclaim the good news of Jesus. That each of us might reach someone, right? Each one can reach one with him. All authority over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. And nothing shall by any means harm us. How many are thankful for Jesus? Amen. All that he's given us. All that pertains to life and godliness. We can walk in that. We can have our inheritance. We've been given an inheritance from him. But how many know we're going to have to enforce that inheritance? Because the devil's a liar. He's a thief, the Bible says. He comes in to try to steal, kill, and destroy from you. But Jesus came that we might have life, and life more abundant. And so you and I are going to have to realize, hey, I have to take responsibility for me. To take authority over all the power of the enemy that comes against my life. And then as we gain victory in our life, we can help others gain victory in theirs. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that's true? You've received Jesus. You can share your testimony. We all have that much. Amen. I gave my heart to Jesus. Glory to God. You know, as a child, I lived for him my whole life. Well, brother, you never sinned? No, I didn't say I never sinned. But I wasn't going against God. I was trying to follow him. I didn't do everything perfectly, but I followed him. I walked with him. I endeavored to follow him and let the word of God become a part of my life. And to be a testimony, a witness of who he is. If you don't know him, how are you going to be a witness for him? Where do we get to know him most? Right here in his word, amen? Glory to God. When we know him, we see who he is. And then we get to be spending time with God, with the Holy Spirit, in prayer, in worship, in his word. Amen. We become transformed and we understand who he is and we know him. See, Moses knew God's ways. The children of Israel saw his acts, but Moses knew God's ways. How many know he spent time with God? He didn't just sit in his tent. The glory of God would fill. He would talk with God face to face. Now every single one of us has that opportunity to talk to him face to face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't need a priest. We don't need to talk to somebody else. We've got Jesus. He can take us straight to the Father. We've got the Holy Spirit who will teach us and bring back whatever he hears about Jesus and make it known to us, make it real to us. And we have that opportunity. Hallelujah. And walk in authority. Be able to share that same truth with the world. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm born again. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm seated with him. I'm glad I'm no longer in this world, this mess. Hallelujah. But I was transformed into the very life of God. He said, we left the darkness. We were even brought into light. Colossians 1. Cleansed us from that blood. Let's look at that real quickly. I'm going to read this for our Colossians 1. Colossians 1. I am excited this morning. I'm telling you, I could preach, but I believe he wanted to just share some of that. And get more teaching in here. And realize we are seated far above. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. let's just start in 13. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His, of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. How many have been redeemed through His blood? Amen. Let's remember that. We're going to remember that as we take communion this morning. Hallelujah. But Paul described that in Corinthians. He said, the Lord showed me this, just like He did the other disciples. You know, he thought he was a disciple born out of due season, and he probably was. You know, but he was born into the kingdom for a very important time and helped us in the early church. Praise God. We thank God. We honor His life. I mean, He wasn't Jesus, but He was honored. God used Him greatly. And He said that, verse 13, He said, For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. He said, Take, eat, this is My body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. And we're remembering Him today, that we've been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been seated with Him, no longer in bondage, but the great resurrection power of God, which lives in us. And we are seated far above all principality and power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we, as often as we do eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death till He come. And He goes on, He says, examine yourself. Examine ourselves. Have we forgiven? Have we released people in the body? Am I walking in the love of God? You know, He said, to do it in a worthy manner. In other words, remembering what Jesus did. That's a worthy manner. See, earlier He talked about them. They were getting drunk and using the elements and eating too much and not sharing. I mean, they're having a feast of their own and not caring about one another. They weren't discerning the Lord's body, His body of Christ, one another. So think about that as well today. You know, where am I? Am I praying for my enemy? Am I praying for someone that has hurt me? Have I forgiven? Have I asked for forgiveness if needed? Hallelujah. Well, let's take the bread and break it. This is His body. It was broken for you and I. And we take and we eat it and we remember what Jesus did. That He bore our sicknesses, carried our pains, by His stripes we're healed. Amen. As this bread becomes one with your body, begin to say, hey, I believe God's healing power is becoming one with me. Amen. Believe we receive healing while we're taking that bread. His body broken for you. Lashes laid on Him. Amen. Let's take and eat. Oh, Lord, we remember You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You that You bore my sicknesses, carried our pains. By Your stripes we're healed. We say, sickness, leave. Body pains, leave. I receive healing, Jesus, because of what You did. Thank You. I remember what You did, Lord. I receive healing in my body because Your body bore it away from me. Took it, nailed it under the penalty of death. And I thank You for that, Lord. I thank You for the precious blood. You said it was through Your blood that You have forgiven us of all of our sin. As far as the east is from the west. I forgive any person, Lord, that's hurt me. I hold them blameless before you. I release them. I forgive them. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, help me as I walk in love toward members of the body of Christ, members in my own family, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your precious blood. We remember that you bore our sentences and that you have forgiven all of our sins. We take and we drink in remembrance of you. Hallelujah.